I want to share with you what the missions team has been doing. And this is also our kickoff for Missions Faith Giving. And I want to talk to you about that as well. But first of all, I want to thank Jim and Lois for sharing. I'm just amazed at the power of God to change lives. It doesn't matter what CNN or Fox News or all these people tell us, God is still alive. God is changing lives. And he is the only one that can change lives. And we thank God for that. I had to think of Jesus' last words in Acts 1:8, as he was, his last words before he left. And usually, whenever someone passes on or someone leaves you for the last time, pay attention to the last words. Not that what they said before wasn't important, but Jesus, the last words he told his disciples, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." But God's heartbeat for missions was in his last words to his disciples. And with that, he ascended into heaven. And I don't know what you picture the disciples doing after that, but they might have looked around and said, "Guys, it's up to us. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this?" But you notice Jesus said, "I will send the Holy Spirit that will guide you in this journey." And we thank God for the Spirit that lives in our hearts and leading us in missions. I want to pull out missions out of Missions Faith Giving to begin with. I've been, not commissioned, but I've been in charge by the leadership team to put together a missions team. Some of the policies and the missionary preparation things that we've been working on. And I'm blessed to sit together with Merlin and Katrina, Merlin, Karen, and Jay and Lil. They have a lot of energy for missions. They have background in missions, and they have a heartbeat to see our church be involved in missions. And I'm grateful for that. Many of you, I'm not sure what your mind goes to when you think of missions. But when I was pondering this, my mind to missions when I was young went back to the Bowery Mission. Many of you have probably been to the Bowery Mission. You've probably had a youth group that has went there maybe and gave a program. I know the youth from the church here went, and I was a part of that. Jared would get to speak that morning. You probably never forget that, speaking to all those men. I think he went thinking he was going to talk to a little, rescue mission type thing? A youth group. You were going to talk to the youth group. He ended up talking, preaching to the whole Bowery Mission. It was awesome. Jim was there. He got to play the piano and during our singing. But my mind for missions when I was young was, it was out there. It was someplace out there. Or maybe it was a missions trip you went on to Haiti or to Canada. There's Sam, Kathy's father, Claire Schnupp, in Canada. Here's some pictures from Haiti. Maybe your mind for missions, it was always out there. And as I was growing up, that was my, I have to admit, that was probably my mentality. I had an aunt and uncle who were missionaries in another country, I'm not sure where it was. And Diane had an aunt who they were missionaries. But it was something out there. I believe Jesus has something to say about this. In Luke chapter 10, I'm not going to turn to it for sake of time. You know the story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And he asked the man the question. The lawyer comes to Jesus and says, "Who is my neighbor?" Through the story, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus says, "To love the Lord thy God and thy neighbor as thyself." And he goes on to say, "Who is my neighbor?" And I don't know what you think of your neighbor. Maybe it's the one next door, like this picture here. Maybe you have a neighbor who you're close to. But I tend to believe that it was Jesus had something else in mind. He goes on to tell the story, as only Jesus can do, of a man who was going on a journey, fell among thieves, and was beaten. Two people came by, both religious people, And they pass by. Along comes a Samaritan who was despised people back then, and he was the one who had compassion on this man. Now, I don't know what you think of the first two men, but I was thinking as I was meditating on this, you know, they were religious people. They were supposed to be the ones that would help this man. But maybe they were off duty. Maybe they were on this road going from their responsibilities, maybe going home. Maybe they were, quote, off duty. And I was struck with the fact that we're never off duty as Christians. And maybe their responsibilities was something they do, and it wasn't who they are. But I believe as Christians, God called us to be people who live our faith, and that our lives radiate Jesus to people. And we meet people's needs by instinct and not out of duty. And Jesus asked the man at the end of the story, who is the neighbor to this man? And the neighbor was the man who stopped and had time to help, the one who had compassion. So the question comes back to us, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And I believe Jesus is driving home the point that the neighbor is a person you have contact with. Maybe it's the man at work who needs snow pushed off his roof. Or maybe it's helping with evacuate your neighbors in floods situations. Or maybe it's helping clean up after a disaster. Who is your neighbor? Many of us could probably think of opportunities we were like the priest and Levite we passed by because we were, quote, off duty. But I don't believe that as a Christian we're ever off duty. God calls us to be involved in people's lives and to help. You probably wonder why football's in here. No, I'm not going to talk about the Eagles. I want to tell you a story about Vince Lombardi. He was a very successful coach in the NFL. He took over a football team who was like 2-12 or something. And he was trying to motivate his team. And he said, you know, he said, these guys knew how to play football. He said, these guys wanted to win, but they weren't winning. And so he got a football. And he got a football, got the guys together, said, guys, he said, this is a football. He took him out to the field. He showed him the end zone. He took him out and he showed him the sidelines. He showed him the yard markers. He wanted to take him back to the basics of football. And you know, as we think about missions and think about, I may not be alone in my thinking that missions was out there. I believe Jesus wants us to have missions start at home first and get back to the basics. And just as football is basic to the game of football, I believe neighbors is basic to missions. As football is basic to football, the game of football, I believe our neighbors are basic to missions. And it needs to start with our neighbors. You notice Jesus in the commission to his disciples, he says, start at Jerusalem. And as I read and researched, that it took, they spent 80 years in Jerusalem before they went out. They spent 80 years in Jerusalem before they went out. So it was important to get their mission started at home. And that's what I want to drive home this morning, is that missions starts in our backyard and goes to beyond. Our mission statement for our missions team is to inspire the congregation to passionately carry out the Great Commission in any way possible. Our vision statement says to equip, enable, and support and send people to all parts of the world, starting here at home. And I like the emphasis of starting here at home because I think we need to do well at home. I think we need to do well with our neighbors, those we come in contact with, and then branch out from there. Just a little bit about our vision, our equipping. We put together a lot of training materials that we can use in helping missionaries who have a vision that or believe that God is calling them to missions. Things that they can do to equip themselves, studies, the Missions Training Center in New York. There's a lot of things that we have in place that can enable and equip you to be prepared as you go or think of going to the field. I don't have time to go into all that now, but at some point we will share with you all that we have available. And it's a work in progress, so I'm excited about doing a better job in equipping our people for missions. Again, Acts 1:8, starting at home and going to the uttermost parts of the world. I want to talk a little bit about missions faith giving. This morning, this is the kickoff Sunday for the next 6 months. I just want to thank you for all you've given in the last giving period of 6 months. It's incredible to see your heart for missions. Missions faith giving is an opportunity to be a part of missions both at home and around the world. It's a partnership to reach people we could never reach on our own. And you know, we can't all be in New York, we can't all be in Canada, but we can be a part of it through missions faith giving, and I'll explain more as we go along. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7, I want to read that. This is the scriptural basis for our missions faith giving. Moreover, brethren, I'm going to be reading from the King James. I'll read off of here. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace of God that was given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that the grace that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. And they excelled in our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then to the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also the completion of this act of grace on your part. But since you excelled in everything, in faith and in speech and in knowledge and complete earnestness and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in grace of giving. A little bit of background here. in the early stages of the church, I'm not a historian, but I read this, that there was two major earthquakes that had hit the Jerusalem area, and there was major crop failure, and they were very poor people. They didn't have much. And the churches of the Macedonian were also poor, but they gave of themselves, even beyond what they were able to give to these people who were in dire need. And it blessed Paul so much. And in fact, that in all the churches that he planted, this was the beginning of missionary support. And the churches that he planted, he encouraged the churches to give to the missionaries. And it was just amazing that out of their lack of what they had, they gave beyond what they were able to. And God blessed them in their heart of giving. And so Paul's writing to the Corinthian church here. He says, you guys are doing well in a lot of areas, but he said, let's do well in giving as well. And he wants to see the heart of giving being transferred to the Corinthian church as well. In Genesis 12, verse 3, it's God's covenant to Abraham that all the people of the earth shall be blessed. And, you know, we're incredibly blessed beyond measure. We are so blessed. And missions faith giving is a way of passing on the blessing to the work of the Lord at home and around the world. Missions faith giving is a way to give to missions and missionaries. Rather than wait till the need arises, it's used to support members from our church in long-term mission work, short-term mission work, local, stateside, and abroad, VS work, and Bible schools, so they can focus on ministry and not on finances. The money that you give for missions faith giving will be used to support missions and missionaries rather than when a couple wants to go on missions, they have to look for all their support. Missions faith giving is a resource that we as a church, that we can send out missionaries and partner with them as they collect the resources that they gain from those who want to support them. The church will look at their needs and fill that need so that they can focus on ministry on the field and not focus on raising funds to keep them there. It's also used for short-term missions and supporting people who go on short-term, like a year or less as well. And also VS work. We want to support our VS workers. And also we want to support those who go to Bible school, give them a portion of their tuition so they can learn in their studies. As we think of giving to missions, faith giving, believers come before the Lord and ask how much they should give to missions over the next period of time, which we're doing a six-month commitment. The commitment is to God and not to the church, and no one will keep track or notify you of your progress in your giving. It's a commitment totally between you and God, and we're not going to come knocking on your door if you're not keeping your commitment. It's between you and God. It's faith and trust. It's a faith commitment. You promise only what you believe God wants you to give, and it's a trust commitment. You trust God to fulfill his promises to you. And I believe more will be given to missions rather than mission giving offerings two or three times a year to missions. Missions, faith giving becomes part of our regular giving. By making it part of our weekly or biweekly giving, you can say, I can do without whatever and give to missions instead. You know, historically we've had two or three mission offerings a year. And as we think of missions faith giving, it's a we do it twice a month, but you can divide whatever you feel that God is calling you to give into a weekly as well. But as you think of giving to missions on a regular basis, I believe more will be given to the work of the Lord and to the missions than the two to three times a year. I want to say here, this missions faith giving is voluntary. This is strictly between you and God. It's not something we're demanding of you to do, but it's an opportunity for you to give and be a part of. Missions faith giving is above the tithes. The tithes is recognizing God's ownership over everything of you and me. And the tithe is a principle that runs throughout Scripture. Missions faith giving is a tangible way to express my desire to be a part of missions. You know, I believe in the tithe and giving God back what he has given us. And as we saw in Corinthians here, how the Christians just gave out of their, you know, even what they didn't have. Missions faith giving is coming before the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to give for missions and to the work of the Lord? Missions faith giving says evangelism at home and abroad is vital to accomplishing the mission of the church. That the gospel changes lives, as we heard this morning. And that we are stewards of what we have. I may not be called to go to wherever, but I can be a part of missions. And I want to be a part of the Great Commission. How do I get the funds for missions faith giving? Well, God may increase your income. God may decrease your expenses. Or God may lead you to sacrifice. I'm just going to share this. I don't know if this is, I'm just going to share it for what it's worth. Talking about God decreasing your expenses. I saw them with the tires on my Mountaineer were getting low. So I was going to see how long these tires actually lasted me. So I looked at my records and they're almost up to 70,000 miles. And I don't know if I ever had 70,000 miles on a pair of tires before. Now, you could say it's coincidence, but it could be God's blessing as well. And I want to claim that because I don't think I bought 70,000-mile tires. I don't usually buy those the high-end tire. So it's just a little way of God can work, decreasing your expenses or increasing your income, or it may call you to sacrifice. But whether you're young, middle-aged, or older, we can all be part of the Great Commission. And God uses all ages to accomplish his purposes. God uses young people, like in the picture. God uses middle-aged people. And like Lois said, God's still using that couple who's 90-some years old. And I think of Norman and, you know, all the people that God's using to further his kingdom. There's no age limit to fulfilling the Great Commission. And my heartbeat for the missions faith giving is, you know, we can't all be involved out there, but we can support and enable people to go through our giving. And that we all can be a missionary at home to the people God's called us to, people we rub shoulders with, your neighbors, your literal neighbors, and your neighbors you meet on your day-to-day activities. So God bless you. I'm excited for what God will do and is doing. And to thank you for participating. And yeah, just be open to God to see what he has for you as we go on this next 6 months of missions faith giving.